Here's a question right out of the chute from America 1970 down in Georgia. Ask Chris his thoughts on Coach Collins at Georgia Tech. Can he make this place a consistent winner?
Well, again, I always say that you got to define consistent winner. Can he get them to where they're going to bowl games regularly? Yes, I think he will absolutely do that. I think he is taking a different approach and capitalizing on the great state of Georgia in recruiting and their ability to get some of those players that some of which are not going to be recruited by maybe the top-tier SEC schools to get them to come to Georgia Tech. I think he's going to do a really good job. Like the Georgia Tech folks, have a good relationship with him. I recommend it, Jeff, highly. I think he's really good. I think we saw last week just the building of the culture change of how they're doing things. Last year they took all those guys that were recruited for the option and planned those guys on defense. But, you know, if you're thinking, boy, they're going to go and do what they did under Bobby Ross and win a national title, that's not realistic. Can you be competitive, in the league? Yes, to a point, in go to bowl games. So, yeah, I think he'll do a good job. I think he'll do a more consistent job than Paul will, because I think he's got a style that's going to lend a more of recruiting a better athlete that will allow him to be, you know, not so up and down.
Chris and I can take you back. It only feels like yesterday, too. Bobby Ross, 1990, Georgia Tech won a national championship. Split it that year with Colorado, but
correct.
That seems, I know it's 30 years. It seems like yesterday, and it seems like 30 years ago at the same time. But, boy, look, Georgia Tech, geographically speaking, Chris, I mean, you couldn't be better located for players. Now, again, you're not necessarily known as a football factory, but – that you can win some at Tech if you're properly led. I guess that's the
correct. And so if you're, you know, and listen, I love Paul, and you know, Paul kind of rankles when I say this, but you know, a lot of those players were eliminated in the recruiting process because of the style that they were running, and it wasn't modern enough to attract guys. And oh, they got some good defensive guys, but you know, it's not as good of a fit. You know, for the younger audience, people don't realize, you just mentioned an underrated football coach. Bobby Ross won an ACC title at Maryland and at Georgia Tech and went to a Super Bowl as a head coach.
It's incredible.
really, really good coach. Now, you know, and we're not talking, you know, Super Bowl, but, you know, Georgia Tech and, again, Maryland – and look, this is Maryland when, you know, not Florida State was in it and all that, but you know, Clemson was, and it was the old ACC when it was ACC in 18 before the expansions and the other expansion. So it's a difference, you know. Duke did it with Steve as well, but, you know, it's amazing. You can look at Steve Spurrier and say, boy, what a great pedigree, and understandably so. But I always like to defend guys that do a really good job, but maybe are not as popular. Bobby Ross was just an outstanding, outstanding coach.
Jumping around just a little bit with Chris, something we talked about earlier in the week. I in particular, wanted to see New England play because of Cam Newton and, you know, Brady's not there and all the storylines. Can they maintain that style of offense through this season? I know Belichick's a brilliant coach, but can they run him and have the same pattern game after game and get where they want?
No, they're not going to run him as much. But what I think they're doing in the plan with this offense is you've got to run a lot of zone read stuff, and you've got to use his mobility. Now, yeah, a lot of those runs were improvisational runs. So it wasn't – some of them were designed, some of them were not. Some of them were in the – zone read situation. What I think you're going to see is they're setting up for what's going to be a lot of built-in bubble screens and a lot of built-in pass options deeper downfield in the second, third level off of that. So what I think they're doing, we'll see over time, is in order to make you respect the run, you're going to have to run it some. So I think the plan is to run it, show it, make you defend it, and then I think in time they're going to take chances. But, you know, a lot of it is you know, goal line, he makes a read, you got a bubble over the between the tackle and the guard, you're going to sneak it in or even short yarded. So I think you're going to always see that. Look, Bill, Cam Newton's not going to be there long term. So they're going to want to win. If they need to run him 10 times a game, 15 times a game, they will. I think, to your point, they're going to be judicious about doing it. Once they get playoff time, you bet. You have to have the run game threat, and you have the run game reality of Cam Newton, or else he's not nearly the quarterback, because that's what creates the spacing and coverage, which allows him to be a lethal passer, because he's not a dropback guy. He's not going to be a midline dropback guy. So I think you got to do all those things. And it's not like they're signing him for, oh, well, they're going to run his future. They don't have any future with Cam Newton. They're going to run him and run that baby into the ground and trade it in at the end of the year if it's worn out, if you know what I mean. They're going for it with a great defense.
Chris, Wyatt Davis and Sean Wade opted out, and now they want back, and I guess that's going to be accommodated. I haven't really looked into it too deep this morning. Give everybody the cliff notes of their draft grade, at least to date, and then what you're perhaps hearing about their return.
Great cover guy that can flip his hip, mirror receivers, does a good job staying on top of routes. I think he feels very well, does a pretty good job reaction in zone when they play him that way. Wyatt is as good a run block and guard as there is in this draft. He's got good footwork and can, with improved hand placement, become a more proficient pass protector. He's solid there, not great. He's really, really good as a run block. I mean, he's very, very advanced. He plays with heavy hands, comes off with a flat back, and rolls his hips. I'm not surprised by that, because, you know, they know they've got a special season ahead, and I think those guys feel like, look, you know, got good futures, but, you know, we'd like to try to win a title. I mean, they know what they've got going, and so the chance to be able to be in a position. I thought it was interesting too. I don't know if you saw, and he said he never just was thinking about leaving, but Pat Freiermuth yesterday I wasn't leaving, man. I don't know where that's going. And I don't know, none of the coaches ever told me he was leaving or not leaving. It was some question, but I thought it was cute, because it made me think of, and this was before, obviously, Wyatt and Sean decided that we'll have a few of those guys that will say, you know what, yeah, I want to play, and let's go get it. But some of them, I don't think it's going to affect. I'd be surprised if it would affect a guy like a Rashad Bateman that, you know, says, he's already into his NFL preparation. In fact, he may have already signed with an agent, as far as I know.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com with us. And Will, in Arkansas, ask Chris his thoughts on OU's quarterbacks and their offense. Of course, they just played Missouri State, but your takeaway.
Well, listen, it wasn't a surprise, because I certainly studied a lot of tape on him in high school. But it is a difference, and you look at little practice clips and things, and you know, you just want to see him in games, and it was against Missouri State. That doesn't affect this guy's ability to flip the ball. He's got a bazooka of an arm. I mean, he can flip it and, quite frankly, do things. Be careful, folks, with this comparison. Not saying this is going to be the same thing. He can do things that are Patrick Mahomes-esque in terms of throwing off of different platforms. He is more physically gifted than any of the quarterbacks they've had at Oklahoma that have gone through and won Heisman trophies. Not more athletically gifted than Kyler Murray. But from an arm talent and a pass skill standpoint, is better and will be in that system longer. And it is a system that does a great job of creating matchups and spacing and coverage. He's going to be outstanding, and I'm excited to see what he can do the rest of the year and what they can do throughout the Big 12. They look good, as I would expect they would against Bobby Petrino's Missouri State team last week.
Here's a question. You brought it up earlier, and it ignited the synapses here. Tight end Pat Freiermuth, Penn State, or Florida's Kyle Pitts? I know both are outstanding, but who's better?
A little bit of an edge for Kyle at this point, although I love them both. I think Pat's a little bit more proficient right now, but the Gator is loaded with – they got even more natural ability. So
right.
It's Mr. Pitts. But they're both in the same gray plateau for me right now, and I'm just you know, tickled as punch that, you know, Pat's going to be able to play and she'll put on more film. That's one of the many things I'm just excited about, and what does it mean for the playoffs and all that's one thing, but these guys' ability to play and the coaches be able to coach them, I'm excited. You know, I wish it was more than 8 games, and I wish they had done it differently, but we're moving forward. I'm excited for guys like that to be able to, you know, put more on their resume.
Watching Notre Dame and Michael Mayer out of Kentucky, fantastic prospect. One game in college. I'm not trying to get him into Canton today on the show, but Chris, at some point, are we going to stop with the baby Gronk? Is there a tight end that's not baby Gronk right now on any team?
Well, no, it's one of those things. We're going to sit there and everybody's going to kind of the big guy that is built almost like a small tackle that is really athletic. You know, we're going to see those, you know, those guys are rare.
Yeah.
Michael's really, really a good talent. And I think, you know, they've done a really good job with tight ends and working. Historically, Notre Dame's done great with tight ends. I mean, you can go back on and on and on back in the days in the 60s and the 70s. But in the modern day with Brian does a good job of working those guys in. And those guys are big weapons in today's game because they're the toughest mismatch. Once we went into a lot of, you know, 11 personnel and you always have a tight end flex or a big slot, and, you know, you've got a – those guys are very freakish athletes where in the past they all would went to be pass rushers. Some of them say, hey, I'd like to, you know, be really – a factor offensively, and you can be. If you can be 255, 260, 265, and can run, trying to guard you is a challenge. So this kid's really good. He's one of many good tight ends in the country.
Chris, you got a few minutes here, other side?
Absolutely.
Okay. More Chris Landry as we continue. We'll let you know how you can get all of his information. We're presented on this Thursday by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
We've got Chris Landry here, LandryFootball.com. We'll get all of his information to you before we finish this up. Chris, your thoughts on the rapidly getting back to the field Big Ten and apparently their little brother, the Pac-12, doing the same thing?
Well, I mean, I think we've kind of known, or at least I felt like all along, that this is something that they were brought to kicking and screaming. I think they've got egg on their face on how they handle this administratively from a lot of different areas. And I don't want to bore the audience again with a diatribe of, you know, kind of what, how this has played out. But I think this was looked at wrong. And that, listen, I think we'd all be naive. It's somewhere on the list. The concern of the medical part is really there. I mean, it is. I mean, who's not concerned medically about, you know, the players? But that is not the driving force on this. I thought it's very disingenuous on, you know, they're trying to do the CYA thing. But the reality is, they kind of got embarrassed and they got egg on their face. And you know what changed? You know, oh boy, things. You think this medical information? I said I wasn't going to go on a diatribe. Guys, darn it, I am. They said, you think all this medical stuff came to them in the last 2 or 3 days? You know what changed? I tell you what changed. Oh, wow, Clemson, Wake Forest is playing. Wow, did you see? There was a whole bunch of NFL games on this week. Oh, wow, did you see? college, high school football. That's what changed. The reality is they're left there on the outside looking in, and they look like buffoons, and we got to do something about it. And that's what happened, and that's what happened with the timing. I will say this. It's not as easy as people think to get ready for that season. They're going to all have to do it as best as they can. And when you look at the restrictions that they put on it, you know, we talk about eight games. I'm kind of wondering if anybody in the Big Ten is going to get through all their eight games. And we can say that for everybody, but they got no margin for error there.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, with us. Can you get football ready in the Big Ten by October 23rd, 24th?
No, you're going to have to do it gradually, and you're going to have to do the best you can, as I said, in the early part of the season. So people say, oh, they've been practicing. No, not everybody's been practicing. Wisconsin's been off 2 weeks because of some positive tests. The others have been doing more spring football-type practicing. So that's something. It's better than nothing, but you're going to have to do it as best as you can. And, I mean, there's nothing about this season as normal. There's nothing about the – it's – let's just accept the fact, I think everybody is, they're going to play, they're excited, and let's just figure it out as we go. The one conference that's had plenty of time to figure this out from a practice standpoint is the SEC, and I'm going to be honest with you, I know hindsight's 20/20, but I bet if they could do it over now with the benefit of hindsight, they'd probably be starting this week, because now you're thinking about, let's start to get them in, because we don't know what the future holds. But the SEC is in better position to have enough practice time to get ready, but the Big Ten and the Pac-12, if they go forward and do it, they're behind the eight ball. There's no question. They put them, you know, it's their own administrator's fault, or let's call it the own fault of the administrators in their government in their states.
Chris, the NCAA since April has been extending out the shutdown of the dead period, or extending the dead period, I guess I should word it that way. And they've been doing it month by month, or 2 months at a time, 3 months at a time. Now they've said we've extended it through January 1. So we know for sure we're going to have a signing period. We're 70, 75% at least last few years, maybe more, 80% are signing rather than in February. We're going to have players signing who have never officially visited schools or unofficially visited schools in some cases. Is that okay? Will that lead to a lot of disharmony, or will everything go smoothly otherwise?
Well, and I'm assuming that what you said is that is correct, in that they're not going to move signing day back for this year.
Haven't heard anything.
Which I haven't either. I've said that makes, you know, to me, perfect sense and common sense, which is obviously why they're not going to do it. It is going to be something that, look, I mean, if they don't move it back, you just laid it out. I mean, now you're dealing with making decisions both ways, on a player and a kid on a school, on sight unseen, which is not ideal. I think it leads to maybe even further problems. And, I mean, are they going to say, we got the transfer rules, so just try it out, and if you don't like it, I mean, I'm not quite sure what the thinking is. I'm not going to say I'm surprised. I'm disappointed that they didn't take a little bit more time to say, okay, let's figure this out. And at least if we feel like we need to extend the dead period, which I can kind of get that, Bill, because if you're out and you can go out and you because you're not going to be as protected in high school, and then you bring that back to your college campus and your students, and, you know, then you're really risking it. Why not just say, look, this is an unusual year. Let's not just back up the December signing date. Let's just back it up, and if we need to, put the February one a month later, because we're going to have to back up everything in recruiting. And I know that there's no guarantee that things are going to be good enough to open it up completely by, let's say, January or December. But you can make that decision then whether you want to move it back more. But I think you can do it, and moving it back would have made more sense. But as I said, it makes perfect sense, so probably why they're not going to do it.
I'll add to it. How about this scenario? no official visit and or perhaps unofficial visit. And, Chris, you're a player coming from a state who canceled high school football. So no senior film, and you never even been on the campus where you committed.
Yeah, I mean, how does that make sense? How does that not scream, look? And you can't do anything about if they can't play high school football.
Right.
Playing in the spring doesn't matter. But you can do something about, let's move signing day back for now, and let's see if we can open it up. And how about this? Let's change the rules for this year because it is, what a different year. Let's allow those kids to go on their official visits. And if they all got to go in December and January and February and back it up a couple more weeks, even 3-4 weeks, let's allow them to do that. If we can go out and open things up, then if we can't, then at some point you got to say, look, we did all we can. It's the same thing that we discussed about this football season and why, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 should have waited like the SEC and said, look, we're going to take it as far as we can until we know for certain. It wasn't 100%. I can tell you the SEC office wasn't convinced that they were going to be able to play, but they were convinced that this was the best way to create an opportunity to see if they could play. I just think the same thing needs to be done from a recruiting standpoint to allow kids and to allow coaches more of a chance to evaluate, more of a chance to get to know these kids, more of a chance for the kids to know them and decide where they want to go. It just makes sense, and moving it back in the calendar a little bit makes all the sense in the world, particularly for this year.
Chris, tell everybody all that you provide.
LandryFootball.com is the hub, and, you know, this is obviously we're involved in this 365, but football season is, with a playing part of the season, it's just huge because we break down all the games. So how do we do it? Well, I'll break the games down in the film room, and I'll tell you what the film room notes that I saw in a game. So you want to know how a certain team did, how Notre Dame's offensive line played. We grade all the players. We grade all the teams in the games. So you can see the film room preview, and you can see the reviews. We've got it all for you there, as well as our notebooks every day. It involves players, teams, coaches, schemes. We break it down for you. It's like having your own scouting or coaching department at your disposal for less than a magazine subscription. So try it out for a month, try it out for a year and get the best discount. That's what we got for you. We do the same thing for the NFL as well. Recruiting, as we just talked about, and the draft, we've got it all for you. You can catch all of our podcasts at links there. You can also get our link to our internet TV network. The Twitch channel. So check it all out there. But LandryFootball.com is your hub, and follow me on Twitter at LandryFootball, and we'll be providing it for you, and we're excited at least in a couple of weeks we'll have even more games and more teams to talk about and evaluate.
Good stuff, Chris. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Take